6. And last week we came across the river. It was uncrossable. Today we'll have stand before the walls. It's impossible. And the things that we just don't understand, as the children of Israel saw that river, it was just impossible to them. They didn't understand how they were going to get across that river. But they did with God. And also, whenever they come up against the wall of Jericho, they could not understand how they were going to defeat that great city. The walls of impossibility. They just didn't understand. God said to take it. They didn't understand how. Well, there's a lot of things in the Word of God, a lot of things about God that we do not understand. Did y'all know that? There's a lot we don't understand. But I have a special verse of Scripture I'd like to read to you, because a lot of times people ask me some things, and I'm always got an answer for them, and this is my answer when I don't understand. Deuteronomy 29:29, and you need to mark that down, because it's a very, very important Scripture. Here's what it says. The secret things belongs unto the Lord our God. There's some things that you're not going to understand and you're not going to know. They belong to Him. He says, but those things which are revealed belongs unto us and to our children forever. And then it tells us why. We may do all the words of this law. You need to keep that Scripture down, because you need to use it a lot of times, I certainly believe. See, victory. We receive victory in our uncrossable rivers, and we will receive victory in our impossible walls, because victory is received by faith and not by fighting. Now, we don't understand a lot of this. The children of Israel certainly did not either. A lot of things in our life today that we don't understand. There will be some things in your life you don't understand. But it's like going down to the ocean and getting a bucket full of water. When you get a bucket full of ocean water, did you know everything in that bucket is ocean? But all the ocean is not in the bucket. And that's the way it is with God. All we have of God, it would be like our cups runneth over, but we don't have all of God and never will. But we have God like a bucket in the ocean. And as David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, sometimes our valley gets very dark and we do not understand. But you see, thank God for our valleys. Well, how could you thank God for the valleys? How could you thank God for the difficult times in the valleys? Because without the mountains, there would be no valleys. You're going through some valleys, there's a mountain. There's a mountain. So victory is received by faith. Understand that. And this is the children of Israel had to learn this lesson. This is for our example, for every one of us. They learned they could cross that river by keeping their eyes on the ark. We know that Joshua is a picture, a type, an illustration of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, the Old Testament word Joshua in the Hebrew is the New Testament word for Jesus. So it pictures Jesus Christ leading us into the land of promise, our fulfillment, into our victory. Israel, as I said, had crossed the river of difficulty by keeping their eyes on the ark. The ark was Jesus Christ. And when the ark moved, it says, go after it. And the ark, we know, had been with them in their midst for 40 years, but there was a difference now, because as many of us as Christians, the ark is with us. Christ Jesus lives within us. But then the difference was, when the ark was out in front, as they sung that song, follow the Lord. They was following the Lord across the river, because it was following the ark. Go after it and follow it. So He is out in front. Difficult for Christian today, because we possess the Holy Spirit, but a lot of time we do not follow Jesus Christ. So this morning in Joshua chapter 5, last three verses, 13, 14, and 15, we take over the story after they have crossed the river, and their first problem they see in the difficulties is this great, great city. It says in verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, and he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loosen thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Let us pray. Father, we just pray, God, that you might open our understanding of what happened to the children of Israel, and their impossibilities that they had in their life is no different than what we have in ours. We want to thank you for the Word of God and the promise of the Word of God. You said that you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The same God, Lord, that brought the children across the Jordan River, the same God that brought the walls of Jericho come tumbling down, is the same God that will bring our impossible walls down this day. So we want to thank you for the privilege that we have to pray this morning, for the opportunity to claim the promises of the Word of God. And we pray, Father, if anyone here today has never received you as Lord and Savior, that great promise of whosoever shall come to me, Father, we pray today will be that day. Father, they will make it public today. They may claim the Word of the God. Father, we want to thank you for each one here today, especially for the Spirit of God that's working in our heart, the sweetness of God we have here this day. And we thank you, Lord, that we may get a message from you, God, and all these blessings. We said amen. And amen. The title, Victory is Received by Faith. Victory is received by faith and is not achieved by fighting. Jericho was a great, great city. It was very great for the children of Israel. In fact, it was the biggest city and the oldest city known to mankind. Even today is the oldest city that we know of. It was in the land of promise. And it was a great city in his wickedness. The most wicked city that you could ever, and the people there, you could ever imagine how wicked they are. Godless people. I'm going to tell you, they was very, very godless people. And the city, it was so big, the walls were so high and so wide that they could race chariots around the top of their wall. It was so big. But we find out militarily, as the children of Israel, they were slaves, and they come out of Egypt, but yet now they're going into battle. They didn't understand how in the world was they going to take this big city. They were slaves. They was not military genius among them. How are we going to do this? This city is so great to take it. Each of our lives, the devil will put barriers, you know, of impossibilities. Rivers that we seem like we cannot cross. But you see, God gives us a way. There's victory in our lives. The devil will see that we have these uncrossable rivers and difficulties and walls that we see the impossibility they cannot fall down. But God did it. You see, the God yesterday, the God today, forevermore. There's an answer here in the lesson that we have today. And the first is we're looking to Jesus. Remember, Hebrews says, look into Jesus Christ. And when we look into Jesus Christ, I said, the ark now, you look into the ark. Whenever we look into the ark, we're not looking at our problems. As I turn away, as I look at that chair right there, I'm not looking at you. As we turn away and look into Jesus Christ, we're not looking at uncrossable rivers, and we're not looking at our impossible walls that we have to defeat. We're not looking at our sickness. We're not looking at our difficulty. We're not looking at our problems. We're not looking at anything we have before us. It's impossible. But we're looking unto the chair. We're not looking at our problem. Jesus Christ says, look unto me. The lesson that we must learn as Christian walk is to look at Jesus Christ. And everywhere he leads us, we follow him. Because it said, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. That is so real for that song that they have just sung today. The rivers and the walls. Faith, you see, when we link our faith to our nothingness that we have today and to God's almightiness, then it makes the great difference because of God. Same today it was in. Victory is not achieved by fighting, but victory is received by faith. That's the way they crossed the river, was by faith. That's the way the walls of Jericho keep tumbling down. Now, lesson day, there's a captain of our faith. Did y'all know that? There is a captain of our faith, as I read 13, 14, 15. Now, Joshua now, he's crossed the river. Now, he's looking at that big city. That is their first encounter as they go into Canaan land. The great city of Jericho, as he begins to look at that, and he sees, you know, they just don't understand. He has no way. And as we look at our problem today, it is no different than Joshua and the children of Israel. And look at this great city, this great walled city. There is no way that we're going to overcome this great problem we have, our sickness, our difficulties, our problem we have in our life. There is just no way. Are we going to overcome this? It might be on our jobs. It might be our finance problem, our family problem, whatever it is. Joshua said, no way. It is so great. But it's out there in front of us, and we must take it. But they do not know how they're going to do this. But suddenly, unaware, there was someone else in his presence. There was someone else in his presence. Someone say, you know, well, the Lord really visited me and he gave me peace about this situation. You ever heard anybody say that? Has it ever happened to you? The Lord just gave me peace. Well, it's the same way with Joshua. That's a pre-appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ with old Joshua. Joshua, he saw the man was drawn with a sword there. And mine, old Joshua, now he walks up to him. He's on the other side of the river now. Hey, are you friends or are you foes? I'm going to tell you, are you for us or are you for our adversary? And then the answer comes, no. He didn't say, I'm on that side. He didn't say, I'm on that side. But the answer comes, no. But I have come as captain of the host of the Lord. I have now come. I didn't come to take sides. I come to take over. Now, this is a very great lesson for IB. I want to thank you, Lord, for allowing me to have this lesson. But he says, I have come to take over. Because, as I say, the appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament there. Jesus has always been. You see, Jesus didn't come 2,000 years ago. Y'all know that. It's a little baby thing. Jesus always have been here. Y'all know that, don't you? Always have. Well, as we see this, Jesus Christ did not come to take sides. He have come to take over. Victory will come in our family or into our country or to ourselves, our individual, when we stop trying and let God take over. And we quit trying to get God to take our sides in our family problems. We quit trying to get God to take our sides in our political problems. We quit trying to get God to take sides in whatever it might be, because God's not going to take your side. You got a problem in your family. You got a problem in our nation. Yes, we got a problem all over the place. You see, it's not the Democrats. It is not the Republican. Thank you, Lord, for showing me this. God ain't for the Democrats, and God's not for the Republicans. God come to take over, and he don't have to do it through a party. Now, certainly we know that there's so much turmoil in our country, especially on account of it. We know the Democrat Party, 100% of them just about for abortion and homosexuality, and Republican, about 80% of them is far against homosexuality, against abortion. But God didn't come to take sides in the Republican matter, and God don't come to take sides. He come to take over our country as we are a Christian nation. That's the difference is. He's come to take over because it's not the Republicans and it's not the Democrats. It's the hearts of God's people. There's where the problem is at. It's not a party. It is a heart. God, get on my side. Well, God's not going to get on your side. Victory comes by faith. Joshua now, he laid his sword down at the feet of Jesus Christ. Quit fighting. Oh, we fight and we battle and we fight and we battle. Now listen, you got to come to a point. Joshua did. Impossible. He laid his sword at the foot of Jesus Christ, and then he laid himself at the feet of Jesus Christ, it said, and worshiped him. You know what we need to do? We can't change anything, but we can come to the feet of Jesus Christ and lay it all down for Jesus Christ. Joshua now is no longer his problem. Jericho is no longer his problem. It's God's problem. Whenever we lay it down at the feet of Jesus Christ and quit battling, we don't have to worry about the problem being our problem anymore. It's God's problem. And you see, and God don't have any problem. Joshua no longer is a problem conscious or Jericho conscious. He's God conscious. Now, IB, that would make a difference if you would do that. Now, that would make a difference if we would do that. Amen. If we would get God conscious instead of our problem conscious, they would make a great, great change. Problem Christian today is we look at our Jericho and we say it can't be done. But I know one thing, God did it. And God will do it again. We are so negative about the things, our walls in our life. Like this old man at when there was trains first come out, old diesel locomotives, and they was great, they was heavy, never seen one. They carried to a town, and we showed an old diesel locomotive sitting in a string of box cars, about a mile long. He looked at that thing, he says, they won't never in the world, that thing won't never move. But started, ch, 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 ch. He says, slowly by slowly, He began to move. He began to move. He began to move. And that thing come by him. I mean, it come by him just to go. And man, you know what he said? They won't never get that thing stopped. You know, that's the way we are. That's the way we are. We're just negative in our problems and our rivers that we have to cross. And the walls of these coming down. Never get that thing stopped. Stop looking at our Jericho. Stop looking at our rivers. And he says, look unto me. What a lesson that I could learn from that. God's conscious and not problem conscious. Joshua laid his sword at the feet of Jesus Christ. Because victory received by faith and not by fighting. He laid his sword down and let Jesus Christ do it. His all for him. Before you can be a conqueror, you've got to be conquered. If you have not been conquered and willing to follow the Lord and willing to surrender to the Lord, no wonder our Jerichos is still in front of us and we don't know how in the world we're going to take it. No wonder our rivers are still out there and we've got no way to cross it. Because we have not come to that part of our life to lay it down. The first thing is we go to the captain of our faith is Jesus Christ. And then, you know, the compliance of our faith. He gives us instructions of our faith and everything that we do. He gives, now, Joshua, the instruction is given you and I. In chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, he says, Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor, and you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about this city once, and thou shalt do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of the ram's horn, and 7 days ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram horn and with the hearing of the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the walls of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straightway before him. That's how it's going to be done, Joshua. Now, Joshua carries out the orders. Compliance is made out how to do this. The instructions. Now, humanly, we know that they saw this and they said, it's impossible. Now, before us this day, they probably, in our hearts and minds and our problem we have in our life, are some things that just look like it is impossible. There's no way that we're going to conquer this. Human understanding, they could not win this war. Human understanding, there's no way. Military, they could not understand it. Same way the problem in our life. Now, you see, they walked away around the wall. No, now that won't work. How in the world is walking around the wall going to help in matter whatsoever? Why? Why did God choose to do things that way? Well, I don't understand why everything God did, but I know one thing. He gave them a test of obedience. Now, you want your walls to come tumbling down? There's a test of obedience. It don't make sense? Well, it didn't make sense to them either, but there's a test of obedience. You know what? It's not our job to understand. It's not our job to understand. It's our job to undertake the Word of God and do what God says. You know what? You can't understand the Bible without doing the Bible. And there are some things we don't understand, but I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of things in the Bible I do understand, but you won't understand unless you obey. That's the answer of understanding the Word of God is obey. Obey the Bible. That's for our understanding. And the example I could use is tithing. Malachi 3:10 says, try, test me. Test me in your tithing. He says, if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings, that you don't have enough room to receive them all. He said, test me, try me. Now, you're not going to know that's going to work until you do it. You're not going to know that God's going to bless you beyond your capability of understanding how great it is until you tithe. You're not going to understand it. You're not going to understand the Word of God until you obey the Word of God. God told them to do this. They will not understand it. But whenever they begin to do it, later on they saw the walls of Jericho coming down. I'm telling you that the Bible says for you to do it, and then you'll understand it. But you will not understand it until you do it. Compliance of faith is fully obedience. Trust in the Lord, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. What? To but trust and obey. The test of obedience. But also, you see, there is a test of observation. They observe the things, what's going to happen. The walls. As they look at this city, man, it is impossible, just like that river was impossible. God will keep your problem before you until he brings you to a place that you have to say, I can't solve it. God will keep that problem before you until you get to a place where you say, God, I cannot solve it. Why? you have to solve it. Come to a place, and the reason a lot of times we have these problems over and over and over, because we have not come to that place where we say, I can't do it. Maybe sickness, maybe job, maybe family, whatever it might be. Whatever it is, the place of utter destitution. God is all of you. Ain't nothing else I can do. You ever felt to a place comes from some problem in your life where you just felt so helpless? There was just nothing that you can do? Well, you know where that, where God's trying to bring every one of us in our problems? To a place where we come that I cannot do nothing about it. It's all of you, God. When we walk around this wall of our Jericho long enough till we bow in destitution, Lord, I can't. You never said that I could. You said that you would, and God, you will. That's what God's trying us to understand. He's never said that you could do it. They couldn't tear those walls of Jericho down. He never told them to tear the walls of Jericho down. He said, take the city, but do what I tell you to do. Lord, you said you would do it, and you will do it, and we thank you, Lord, for doing it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, the third thing, the continuation of our faith. God tells us to do it. Don't do it for a little while and stop, but we continue. Now, chapter 6, 13, 14, 15, and the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of the ram horn before the ark of the Lord went continually every day and blew with a trumpet, and the armed men went before them. But the reward, that is the guards that were behind them. You know, the nation of Israel went through the wilderness. They had men back up. The tribe of Dan was usually it, because there was a rear guard to keep them being attacked from the back. You see, and it says reward, that is the holiness and the glory of God. Did you know they had a reward? They had the glory back of them. They had the ark in front of them. They had the glory in front of them. There was glory on both sides of them. There was glory above them. There was glory all around them. Now, you, myself, got more than that, because you got glory in you. You got glory back of you. You got glory in front of you. You got glory on both sides of you. You got glory over you. I'm going to tell you, you got glory in you. The glory, the reward came after the ark of the Lord, and the priest going on and blowed with the trumpet. And the second day they could pass the city once and return unto the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day. Remember seven, the numbers in your Bible, went over this on Wednesday night. You ought to be here on Wednesday night. It'll help you. I'm telling you now what this seven means. It ought to come to your mind when I say seven. 7 days that they rose early about dawn of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. They compassed the city seven times. Something was just a little bit different this time. What was it? They continued on. They didn't do it just 4 days and quit, 5 days and quit, six. They continued on. You know what the Bible says? Pray without ceasing. We just keep right on praying. Just keep right on praying. Why? Because you see, going around that wall seven times, not one time, not two times, but seven times. Why? The lesson. Wait on the Lord is not wasted time. Wait on the Lord is not wasted time. That means that's a hard lesson for us to learn, is it not? Most people like me, I want patience right now, Lord. You see, but God don't give it to you that way. And I'm going to tell you, I can live in proof of that. God, I need patience right now. Everything we do today, though, is instant. We don't want to wait in line for nothing. I don't like to go through a drive-in window. I don't go to a drive-in bank. I don't like to go through a drive-in, get a Coca-Cola. I don't like to wait. I want it right now. That's the way we are. God says, wait. Some things in your life need to change. God says to wait. Isaiah chapter 28 and 16 says, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste. Then Isaiah 30 and 18 says, and therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you? For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait upon the Lord. Why is he waiting? Well, he says, that I might be gracious with you. Not only that I might be glorified. How come you don't heal it right now, George? How come you don't just change everything right now? So I can be gracious and I might be glorified, even in the time of our sickness. He'll wait. You know, Lazarus, they said, Mary and Martha said, hey, Jesus Christ, our brother's dead. You better get on over here now. He's fixing to die. You know what it says? That Jesus tarried. He waited till Lazarus died. why in the world did you wait till he died, Lord, you were to come? We asked you to come. Why didn't you come? You see, God's delay is not our denial. God's delay is not our denial. You know what? He might be gracious unto you. And was he gracious? He was exalted. He raised Lazarus much better than just healing from a sickness. He raised him from the dead. He had a reason for waiting. He was exalted, giving him glory to himself. And have mercy upon you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Rest in the Lord. Hebrews 10:36 says, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And I told you about in Malachi 3:10. After you have done it, you know what? I'm going to give you these promises. Boy, I tell you, the Bible is plain, and yet we don't want to do it. I tell you what I'll do for you, and you do it. He said, I'll give you this promise. Can God lie? Is the word of God a lie? He said, if you'll do this, I'll promise you what I'll do for you. You see the same thing in anything of our area, the walls of Jericho. You do what I tell you, and the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. He said, I'll give you this promise, each and every one of us today, if we would just do what God is telling us to do. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. That means if you don't quit. You remember old Naaman was a leprosy, and then you know what? Man of God says, go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. He said, well, listen, we got better river in Samaria. What I want to dip in old muddy Jordan for? But he did. Now, what if he'd have dipped 6 times? Well, this ain't going to work, and left. He would still been a leprosy and died with leprosy. He dipped 7 times because God's word told him that. His prophet said 7 times. When he come up the 7th time, he was completely healed. 7 times. Remember what 7 is for. Dip 7 times. Our continuation of our faith goes on and keeps going. You ever heard anybody say, keep on keeping on? You know, a lot of times, you may not believe this, but you know sometimes your feelings can be hurt at church. And like, I ain't going back there no more. I ain't going. Well, you have not continued in your faith if you quit coming to church, I can tell you that. He said, you continuation, a continuation of our faith. You just keep on. Don't let nobody stop you from coming to church. Have faith in God. He's on the throne, is he not? Have faith in God. He watches over his own. You belong to Jesus Christ. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. You know that deals with every area of our life and our death, sickness, no matter what it might be. Sometimes, you know, we just almost ready to turn loose. But you know what? You need to turn loose and let God have it. Confession of our faith. Confession of our faith. Verse 15 of that same chapter I done read, you know, where they walked around 7 times. Then verse 16, and it came to pass at the 7th time when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord have given you the city. The walls came tumbling down. A shout. What was a shout? This was a shout of victory. The shout of victory came before the victory came. The shout of victory came before the victory came. He says, do it. It's already done for you. They shouted, and the victory came. Confess of faith. That God will keep his word is what he said. That's why the shout of victory is, that God will keep his word. Confession of faith turns faith inside out when we have this shout. Verse 16, shout for the Lord, what? Hath given you the city. He's already said he's going to do it. He said he would heal us. He said he would do this. He said, I'll give you blessings too great for you to receive. I said this. So many things that God have said. In the same chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thy hands Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of Ela. I have already given it to you before they ever walked around it the first time. He said, I have already given this land unto you and this city unto you. I've already done it. God has already said some things he's already given to you if you just claim it. He said it. Hebrews 13:5-6 says, and let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things that you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. boldly say what God has already said, you know what? I'm going to heaven. Are you? Why? Boy, you bragging on yourself. No, I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on Jesus. What Jesus Christ said unto me. Did he say that unto you? I'm going to heaven. Listen what Romans 10, 9 and 10 says. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you need to listen to this verse of scriptures. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now that's what he said, if you would do, I would do. That's when someone comes to me and tell me they believe in Jesus Christ, they want to repent of their sin, they come for salvation, and they go through the words of salvation, everything that I might say to them, they might say to me, then I like to tell them this, especially young kids. Jesus Christ said, whosoever shall come to me, I will not cast out. Are you in? Are you out? By doing that, I want them to understand it's not what they think. It's not what they feel. It's what God said. That gives us the promise and the power that I'm saved. Most of the time, if you're saved, the devil will want to do two things. Or one thing, if you're saved, he want to try to convince you that you are lost. Now, if you're lost here today, you know what? He won't convince you that you're good enough to go to heaven because you're just as good as any of these people sitting right here. You don't have to come down this aisle. You don't have to do nothing because you're just as good as anybody in this building, and you are. But the thing about it is, it's not just as good. You're just as bad as any of us. And the devil will try to tell you, if you're lost, that you're just good enough already. You don't need to come now. You don't need to be a member of church. You don't need to come. You don't need to come. You don't need to be a member of a church. You don't need to come. You don't need to confess Jesus Christ. You don't need to. You don't need to. You don't need to. But then if you're saved, you know, most of us can understand one thing. You know what? I more realize I've sinned more since I've been saved than I ever did before I was saved. You know what? Because I'm more conscious of my sin. If you're here today and you've been saved, you haven't never sinned, raise your hand. If you're here today and you're saved and you've never sinned since you've been saved, raise your hand and stand up. I want to see you. Because you know that we have failed many times. And old devil will want to point that out to you. You see, you bunch of people here today, y'all failed Jesus Christ. And you think that you're going to heaven? You think you're going to heaven? Do you feel like what you've done, the way you live, that you're going to heaven? And if you're saved, when the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. And it's not what you've done. It's not how you feel. It's not how you live. It's what Jesus Christ said in his word. I will justify the unjust. He justified you freely. Put it on your account. And he says, whosoever will come unto me, I will no wise cast out. That's what God says. And it says in the promise of his word, the same thing today. And our conflict of our faith. Our conflict of our faith in verse 20. It says, and the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpet. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout and the walls fell down flat so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And I'm going to tell you, Jericho will fall with the word of God. It will fall with the word of God, captain of our host, when he takes over. Thanks be to God who calls us always to triumph in Jesus Christ. And then verse 21 in closing, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox, sheep, asses, with the edge of the sword. Wait a minute, God. You say the young and the old, you mean the babies? You mean the children? They destroyed them? Now this is not thinking, we don't think this way, but the Canaanites' ways was so unspeakable, immoral. The occult, the demon worshipers, the sacrifice of their own children, they was almost as bad as the United States of America. Did y'all know that? Almost as bad. I want to tell you why I say that almost is bad. Because, you see, the country that we're living in has the light of the Word of God, and we still vote for people as far abortion and homosexuality. Christians will still support this with the light of God living in them. The Canaanites did not have this. They were a very, very wicked people because they was wanting to go the wrong way against God. The conflict of our faith. The walls of Jericho come tumbling down. You see, when the trumpet was blowed, and the day, I'm going to tell you, in this country we're living in, God is already judging our country. You keep supporting the people for abortion. Keep putting them people in the White House and keep putting the people in our country, ruling over our country, and say it don't make no difference, one just as bad as the other one. You keep doing this, country. You know what's going to happen? There's going to be another trumpet. There's going to be another shout. And when they do, it says the Lord himself, the Joshua, the Jesus himself shall come. And then the judgment, and then all the walls of the universe will fall down and honor the one who sits on the throne of God. Yeah, these walls are big in our life today, but I'm going to tell you, they're not too big for God to handle. We got some rivers of difficulty to cross, but I'm going to tell you what, God can do it. God done it then, God can do it today. Now, I don't know how, and he don't tell us how that he's going to do this, but he says, you just wait on the Lord because you see that I might be gracious with you and I might be exalted, that I might be glorified. God, if you're going to glorify yourself in this country, that means there's something going to bad happen to us, buddy. I'm going to tell you, we're going to have to give God the glory some way or another. But it's going to happen. I'm going to tell you what, God's going to get the glory regardless. It's a coming. But I tell you this day, God has promised to do his part if you'll do your part. Are you here today and you have never accepted Jesus Christ? You don't have a church home? I'm going to tell you what, you need a church home. You need to do the Word of God before you receive the blessings of God. You need to do them, and then he'll give you the victory in it. Whatever God has called you to do, you need to do today. Man, I like that song that's sung, just follow the Lord. You know, where's God leading you? I'm going to tell you one thing. I guarantee you this day God's leading somebody down this aisle. Now, you may not come. You just sit back all you want. You may not come, but God's leading you. That's my problem. I don't do things that God wants me to do all the time. So we're going to stand with a song of invitation. And God says, okay, y'all heard the Word of God today. I spoke to your heart through the Word. I spoke to your heart through song service. I spoke to your heart through the Word of God, the Spirit of God. Now, come follow me. Isn't that easy? What you going to do about it? It's all up to you as we sing this song today.